It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, June 11th. Hope you're having a great morning so far. Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Well, a bit of news this week to talk about, and it's disturbing news. It feels sneaky with the way it was done. It's shocking news from PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, because it's a complete 180 from the stance he and the tour have taken in the last year and a half. And they're very public, very vocal, very bitter fight against LIV Golf, funded by the Saudi PIF, the Public Investment Fund. And yeah, I think the merger just reeks of betrayal to the players who stood firm with the PGA Tour and who are against Saudi money owning golf. No one knew anything about this, and the PGA Tour is supposed to be a tour working for and with the players. And as I said, it goes completely against everything PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan was saying publicly, you know, to the players and to everybody for the past year and a half in their fight against LIV. So here are a couple important points about the announcement that just shook the sports world last Tuesday. Most important point: that this is not a merger between PGA Tour and LIV, the PGA Tour is saying. It's a joint venture between the PGA Tour, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, and the DP World Tour. The agreement creates a new for-profit company that will include the commercial businesses and rights of the PGA Tour and DP World Tour. The Saudi Public Investment Fund, the PIF, will invest as a minority equity owner, and the PGA Tour is the majority equity owner. And the company will be an LLC and jointly owned by the three entities. The new profit entity will be called NewCo, which will be a subsidiary of the PGA Tour. Now, they did not provide any detail on what this new company will be doing, but it's my understanding that Jay Monahan will be the new group's chief executive, and Yasser Al-Rumayyan, the governor of the Saudi Wealth Fund, will be the chairman of this new group. And it is through this new entity that they will develop new and different ways to, in quotes, grow the game. Those words we always hear that are overused and quite ambiguous. I know that when the players initially heard about this merger, they were not happy. They felt blindsided. And it will be interesting, you know, once more details come out, to see if that tone and if their mistrust changes. I mean, will Jay Monahan be the enemy? Or will he become, you know, so-called savior? I mean, that all depends on where all the money goes, and certainly involving the players in the economic growth, which, as I'm understanding this, as more and more information comes out, that just may be the case. Another point: if there was any confusion over which side won and which side lost, and, you know, we've all read a lot of tweets from people who think that LIV Golf has won, well, the PGA Tour has been quick to point out, after the initial announcement, that the PGA Tour still maintains the control, as I mentioned, as the majority equity owner. The PGA Tour maintains control, will have a majority of board seats in the new company. Jay Monahan repeated this several times in his interview on the Golf Channel earlier in the week. And I also read where they said the Public Investment Fund will have the right of first refusal on new investments in the merged tour. I think that's somewhat significant. It reveals the control that the Saudi money can have, the right of first refusal on any new company or investments that want to come in. We also know that the ongoing litigation between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour is supposed to end. That means it does save the PGA Tour a ton of money, in addition to perhaps the embarrassment of information going public about both the PIF and the PGA Tour that they don't want people to know. So, I mean, that's... that hypothesis, I think, adds to, you know, comes up with a lot of questions in and of itself. So, I mean, what would the PGA Tour possibly want to hide? But anyway, a Wall Street Journal article said that Monahan told employees that the tour had spent $50 million in legal fees and had to dip into reserves for $100 million to pay increased purses for the designated events and other bonuses. And, you know, when I was looking over the prize money increases last year and everything the PGA Tour was doing so quickly to prevent more star players from bolting to LIV Golf, I was very skeptical about how the tour would sustain that financial picture. And we talked about it on this show. The tour was asking the sponsors to come up with a lot more money for these elevated events. And I couldn't imagine most sponsors really liked the sound of that. So yes, this move sure seems like a desperate move, bringing in a foreign entity with unlimited funds. And maybe you're saying, well, why not? If they are willing to pour tons of money into the sport of golf, why not? I mean, they already sponsor Formula One, other racing entities such as Aston Martin Racing, the Aramco Saudi Ladies International. In fact, I read where the CEO of the Ladies European Tour said in quotes that Aramco and Golf Saudi, which is backed by PIF, are playing a key role in developing the women's game globally. So all this in contrast to the lack of women's rights in their country and the other human rights violations that the country commits. So obviously there are a lot of inconsistencies here. They want to invest all over the world in sports and in other ventures, yet at home, their human rights record is abysmal. And while doing my research, I learned that in 2020, the Saudi Public Investment Fund purchased minority stakes in Boeing, Facebook, Citibank, Disney, and in the Bank of America. So they're all over the place. And we just have to learn more about it, right? Some other points according to the PGA Tour. The merger creates a process for banned LIV golf players to reapply for membership to the PGA Tour after the end of this season. I honestly don't think they know how this is going to work yet, but it will certainly be interesting to find that out. Jimmy Dunn was quoted in an SIGolf.com article that if LIV golfers want to play on the tour, Monahan and the current PGA Tour leaders have to approve the terms. The PGA Tour says it will be Commissioner Jay Monahan who will oversee LIV Golf, and he told Remeyan they will evaluate LIV at the end of the year. Well, from what we know, Jay Monahan can't stand LIV Golf, so it's just my guess that LIV Golf will not be around much longer. It was Jimmy Dunn, a great amateur player, and big golf insider, big finance guy, who brokered the meeting between Monahan and Remeyan. And boy, Jimmy Dunn, that's an irony right there because he lost so many friends and colleagues in the 9/11 attacks. And he would have been at work in one of the towers that day if he hadn't been playing in a golf tournament that very day. Jimmy Dunn joined the PGA Tour Policy Board in 2022. And he was basically the architect of this deal. So a lot of ironies there as well. This merger is obviously a work in progress. There are still many details that have not been drawn up. And the policy board must approve this. And the policy board consists of five players: Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Charlie Hoffman, Peter Malnati, and Webb Simpson, and five executives. So it will be interesting to see how that all plays out. And, you know, as much as the announcement last Tuesday was sudden and stunning, the more I thought about it, I realized, you know, I'm not really that surprised because when it comes down to it, it's always about the dollar. It's all business. I'm not saying that taking Saudi money is the right thing to do. I'm still adamantly opposed to it based on where the money is coming from. And I have a difficult time thinking about Saudis owning golf. But when it all came down to it, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan and Remeyan, the governor of the wealth fund, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, who will be the chairman of this new group, they were able to come to terms, apparently. And Jay keeps saying that the PGA Tour is in the control position. So, hey, we'll see what happens. You know the popular saying, if you can't beat them, join them. Well, I think most of us were hoping that the PGA Tour would beat them instead of joining them. So Monahan saying in quotes to take an aggressive competitor and to have them be a minority investor and for us to all be aligned is very exciting. In that interview with the Golf Channel, Jay Monahan took the blame for being a hypocrite. And he also said in allowing confidentiality to prevail here, He did not communicate to very important constituents, including the families of 9/11. So he did mention that. And he said, in regards to the players who remained loyal to the PGA Tour, he said, their loyalty will be rewarded. Not sure how yet, but he said he would work on that. Rory McIlroy seems to have supported Jay in his press conference earlier this week. He talked to Jimmy Dunn Tuesday morning, Rory said, and he said, yes, it was a big surprise. He knew that there had been discussions going on in the background. He felt like he's been the sacrificial lamb. But ultimately, in my opinion, it looks like Rory is on board because it seems like it's a lot more money for all the players. And the tour felt they were in a position of strength. And Rory said that Jimmy Dunn told him in quotes, sometimes you have 280 over water and sometimes you just have to go for it. He said it unifies and secures the tour's financial future. But interesting, Tiger has been silent. He has to be very angry, if I had to guess. We have not heard anything from Tiger Woods on this. We'll continue this discussion with Bob Herrig, who is the golf writer for SportsIllustratedGolf.com. In a few minutes, Bob and I get into a lot of these details. There's a lot of golf going on at the Canadian Open. CT Pan leads a bunch of players by two shots at 14 under. This is the first time Pan has held the 54-hole lead in 168 career starts. He shot a 66 yesterday. Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy, Mark Hubbard, Justin Rose, Harry Higgs, and Andrew Novak are all at 12 under. If Rory were to win, he would become the first player to earn three straight victories at one tournament at three different venues. Nick Taylor, he shot a 963 yesterday. He's three shots back. And Tommy Fleetwood posted a third round 64. And I'm just back from the BMW Charity Pro-Am, the popular Corn Ferry Tournament in Greenville, South Carolina. Had a great time, as always. And I will talk more about it after the 8:40 break with Lauren Thompson, best known for her role on Golf Channel's Morning Drive. And now with NBC Sports Next, Lauren was also one of the celebrity players. So we'll connect toward the end of the show there. And at the BMW Charity Pro-Am, Josh Teeter takes a one-shot lead into this afternoon's final round. It's 17 under. He leads three guys by one. And Ryan Burnett was the young man I had the pleasure of playing with. He is at 10 under overall, seven shots back. He shot a 4-under on Thursday and 3-unders on Friday and Saturday. This guy can play. Obviously, he has all the shots. Very accurate with his tee shots and approach shots. He can putt. I have to say, it's such a thrill to be inside the ropes playing with these guys. You just kind of watch, and you're in awe by how good they are. This is his professional debut as well. So, he was nervous, I could tell, but he just was so zoned in. He's such a nice guy. He went to University of North Carolina, and he was the 2023 NCAA regional champion. At the ShopRite LPGA Classic in Galloway, New Jersey, it's Dani Holmqvist from Sweden. She has a one-shot lead at 11 under. Yo-Jo Kim is one back. Ashley Buhai is three shots back at 8 under. Holmqvist shot 4 under 67 and is seeking her first LPGA victory. All right, coming up in a few minutes, Bob Herrick of SportsIllustratedGolf.com and I will discuss the biggest announcement in sports in quite some time. That's all coming up in a few minutes. But first, let me tell you that many of the world's best golfers will tee it up at the Travelers Championship, June 21st to the 25th. John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, 2022 champion Xander Schauffele, and many more. The Northeast-only PGA Tour event will feature next-level competition, next-level thrills, next-level excitement. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com and be sure to catch all the next-level action.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
The first ever Mazda CX-90 is absolutely incredible. This is the perfect three-row SUV packed with tons of safety features like lane keep assist, smart brake support, and a 360-degree camera that makes driving this three-row SUV easy to drive. It is thoughtfully designed around the driving experience. The Mazda CX-90 is powerful and responsive. It's unlike any other three-row SUV I've driven. Visit your local Mazda dealer or MazdaUSA.com and schedule your test drive.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
When an injury or chronic condition keeps you from doing what you love, you deserve a specialized team that will find the treatment that's best for you. At Stony Brook Orthopedic Associates, we are physicians, nurses, researchers, therapists, and educators focused on addressing your fears and speeding your recovery. From non-surgical care to complex procedures, our nationally recognized program will work to relieve your pain and get you back in motion. We are Stony Brook Medicine. All we do is all for you.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. Hope you're having a great morning so far. And the news that has rocked the golf world, news that has stunned the entire sports industry, the joint venture between the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the Saudi Public Investment Fund, coming after PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan denounced LIV Golf, which is funded by the Saudis, and everything really it stands for the past year and a half. And joining me now is Bob Herrig, golf writer for SIGolf.com. Bob is always on the cutting edge of every major sport golf story there is. Welcome to Talking Golf, Bob. So glad you can join us.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it. Happy to.
So putting this all in perspective, as far as shocking golf stories go, how would you rate this?
You can't overstate how shocking it is, I don't think. I mean, no fluffy words, you know, can completely describe it. It just, you know, the idea of any kind of agreement or coming together, while it's been discussed and people have thought, there needs to be peace. It just did not seem to be any movement on that front at this time. You know, there's a lawsuit was a lawsuit between the two sides. Whenever Jay Monahan was asked about it, he would mention that, bring that up. And so, you know, it caught everybody off guard because there had just been no rumblings whatsoever. Sometimes you get wind of these things. Yeah, they're talking or something's going on. So, you know, even now, several days later, it's still surprising. And there's a lot of unanswered questions, which, you know, I think make it, you know, even more sort of, you know, now that the shock is sort of going away, you still don't even know how to react to the whole thing and what it means.
Absolutely. Well, I know the way the merger was first announced when PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan and Al Rumayyan, the governor of the PIF, Public Investment Fund, that sovereign wealth fund of Saudi Arabia, when they first announced it on CNBC, it sounded like this is a merger between PGA Tour and LIV. In fact, there were, you know, chyrons stating that LIV Golf to merge with PGA Tour. And I personally feel that was very misleading because the PGA Tour later, Bob, clarified, they said this is not a merger between the PGA Tour and LIV. It's a joint venture between PGA Tour, PIF, and the DP World Tour, and it will create a new for-profit entity. And that new company is being called NewCo. So let's first talk about that. It's kind of misleading the way it all came out. And it's really not a merger with LIV Golf.
That's correct. CNBC first reported it as a merger. in their wording. And, you know, I just think it's just not quite the terminology. It's not really about LIV. It's about the PIF. And the PIF is a whole different entity than LIV. You know, the Public Investment Fund funds LIV, and LIV is one of numerous things that the PIF invests in. So it's actually bigger than that. And what it means for LIV is really unclear at this time. To be honest with you, both sides are sort of claiming, you know, what they would like to see happen. The tour has completely downplayed the idea of LIV existing going forward in its current form. The LIV people, on the other hand, are talking like business as usual. This opens up doors for us now to sponsorship and to build these teams. And they think that they're going to continue on. Now, how that will happen if they do is a total mystery, because as part of this agreement, they formed a separate from the tour for-profit entity, an LLC that's not been named. Jay is the CEO. Yasser is the chairman. I read that to mean that Yasser's in charge, and they're going to try to come up with other ideas as part of that. Would LIV fold into it? Would it involve the DP World Tour tournaments? Could there be some women's tournaments involved? Nobody knows. I don't think they know.
I don't think they know either.
But the PGA Tour, as we know it, the Canadian Open going on right now, the Travelers in 2 weeks, you know, that is supposed to remain intact with a nonprofit structure, a policy board that Yasser will now be part of, but just one of 10 members. And so there are more questions than answers as we go through this.
Sure. But I think it's an interesting point you brought up, because Jay Monahan has several times reiterated that the PGA Tour is in a control position with the productive investor. And yet I can see, you know, the Saudi chairman, I think it's going to be interesting to see who really has the control ultimately. And one of the main questions is about the PGA Tour needing money so badly that they were suddenly open to welcoming in this Saudi money. I mean, they obviously needed the money, right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems that way. I mean, first of all, to your question about who's going to be in control, you know, typically money talks, right?
That's right.
If there's a big investment from the PIF, and we do not know that yet, they've not really said. But if there is, then why wouldn't they have more say? If it's not, then, you know, and Jay is in charge, well, then, you know, then they control more of the narrative here. But I don't really think we can say right now. And anything that we do is just guessing. Mm-hmm. It's and you can lay out various scenarios, and there's probably several scenarios we haven't thought of.
What are your thoughts, Bob, about, I know the policy board will eventually have to approve this. This agreement has to be voted on and approved. There are a few players on that policy board, including Rory McIlroy. Originally, that from what I read about that initial players meeting, it was very intense. It was very heated. They called Jay Monahan a hypocrite. But then Rory seemed to pretty much, after he said, I feel like a sacrificial lamb, he pretty much did a 180 and agreed with, or at least sided with, Jay Monahan. So interesting take from Rory's standpoint. What are your thoughts about the policy board approving this?
Well, you know, I guess what we have to figure out is there's three other non-players on the policy board, 10 total, five of each, five executive types like Jimmy Dunn and Ed Herlihy. Ed Herlihy's the chairman. There's three others like them, and then there's five players. You know, it's quite possible that those three other non-playing board members are right with Herlihy and Dunn. And if they are, well, then this thing will probably get approved, because my sense is that Rory's with them. I don't get the sense that Rory's all that happy, but more due to the perception. He spoke out so vehemently against this, and the very thing he talked against, he now has to get on board with. And, you know, the players who are upset, you know, ultimately, this is going to help them. Would they have wanted the tour to go down the road of continuing to throw money down the drain at a lawsuit that was going to keep going on and on and cost them millions and millions? Would they have wanted to find out that maybe these purses that the tour has promised, the designated events, that sponsors can't handle it? You know, I think there was always going to be some unintended consequences to what the tour put in place last year that we're seeing this year and then again next year, which with these designated events. I think from a fan perspective, they've been great. We all have enjoyed seeing the top players play together more often. You know, Heritage was a good tournament. Arnold Palmer, the Genesis that Rahm won. The Wells Fargo tournament. I mean, the players, these events have been very, very good. But funding them has become more of an issue than I think we realized. You know, the tour has had to go to these title sponsors, and they're asking them to foot the entire extra bill next year. In some cases, that's $12 million. And some of them have balked. And, you know, look, just the simple math is if the tour had to pay for it all, you're talking about, what, 8 or 10 tournaments that have increased their purse to $20 million? That's, you're talking close to $100 million. So the tour's dipping into its reserves for that. It can't keep doing that. So if you're a player and you look at that and you recognize, okay, this fighting of LIV probably wasn't going to be good long term, what else do we do? You know, it's really a tough spot to be in, to be honest, especially given all the talk that was negative towards LIV for all this time.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously the litigation was costing the PGA Tour so much money. I think I read $50 million at one point. And, you know, it's great for the PGA Tour from a financial standpoint, but it makes you think that there was a lot of dirty laundry that both sides did not want out there. That's another point,
right?
That they stopped this litigation.
Sure. I mean, the tour didn't want discovery. There's probably things that have gone on that they're not going to be too keen on having the public know. And I don't think Yasser wanted to be deposed. You know, they've got stuff on their side too, that, let's be honest, are they going to want the public to know all that? That was not only was that going to potentially be embarrassing, but incredibly costly. You know, the tour was seemingly winning a lot of these legal skirmishes, but in the end, they might not have won in the court of public opinion. And it really, it wasn't a monetary fight. It was, you know, it wasn't like one was suing the other over money. They were suing, you know, the PIF was suing, or LIV was suing the tour for, you know, non-competitive practices. And so that wasn't really about money. It was more about their structure. And you know, would the tour has got a victory there if this is actually dropped, because now their rules can remain intact.
We look at, you know, the question, who wins here? Certainly the influx of money with the PGA Tour will make the players even more wealthy. But, you know, at what price? And this goes back to, you know, the whole morality of it, right? The PGA Tour is really turning their back on their original belief not to join forces with the so-called evil empire, right? The players were at least initially very angry, but I assume that once it's all ironed out and the players understand the economic value to them, I would have to guess that most of the players will be on board.
I mean, I don't know what choice they have. You know, if you're going to turn down this deal, then what happens? My understanding is the lawsuits have yet to be dropped. They're just on hold. Now, that doesn't mean that if a deal can't be reached, they can't come up with some other deal. That's certainly possible. I mean, I think at this point, neither side wants to really continue this venom, right? And so if the deal isn't approved, then maybe they go back to the drawing board and come up with a different deal, you know, that would allow this everybody to move on.
And I understand that the fate of Liv, at least the way the PGA Tour is spinning it, is in the hands of Commissioner Monahan. He said he would evaluate it and kind of come up with some kind of conclusion at the end of the year.
Yeah, and yet there's some debate about that too. That's what the tour is saying. Just to be devil's advocate, why would the PIF put all this money into this, get a seat on the board, be part owner of this for-profit organization, and then just let Jay decide? You know, like, if my sense is if Yasser wants Liv to continue, it'll continue. If they want to work together, it might be, realigned or re-imaged. I don't necessarily think it'll be called that anymore. And if you're going to blow it up and end it, well, then don't you have to allow the players to come back to the tour amicably instead of penalizing them? And why would the PIF people allow that or want that? You know,
Those are good questions, for sure.
Yeah. That's what's so, puzzling about this whole thing. You know, the tour's been very out front in talking up all the points, and yet it's very hard to know exactly how this is going to play out. The Liv has been quiet.
And how about the players, Bob, who were loyal, who have been loyal to the PGA Tour? What will they reap from their loyalty? Jay kept saying, they will be rewarded for their loyalty, but I really honestly believe he had no idea at this point how that's going to work out either.
Well, one idea that was put out there by Jimmy Dunn was that they would get equity in this new for-profit thing, but the Liv guys would not. Well, again, how are you going to achieve peace if you do that? You know, like if you exclude some. And while I understand how the players – might not just waltz right back onto the PGA Tour and pick up where they were. I do think it has to be some, amicable path back.
All right. Well, that was Bob Herrick of SportsIllustratedGolf.com. And I'm sure this story will dominate the golf headlines for months to come. And we'll keep you on top of it as it unfolds. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk U.S. Open, BMW Charity Pro-Am, and welcome in Lauren Thompson. Lauren and I played in the BMW Charity Pro-Am, that popular Korn Ferry tournament in Greenville, South Carolina, going on right now. And boy, playing during the week while all of this PGA Tour merger news was happening, it was very interesting. We'll get Lauren's take on it as well when we come back. But first, let me tell you that many of the world's best golfers will tee it up at the Travelers Championship, June 21st through the 25th. John Rahm, Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, 2022 champion Xander Schauffele, and many more. The Northeast's only PGA Tour event will feature next-level competition, next-level thrills, next-level excitement. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com and be sure to catch all the next level action.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. Hope you're having a great morning so far, and just back from playing in the BMW Charity Pro-Am. What a cool tournament on the Korn Ferry Tour. And joining me now is Lauren Thompson, best known for her role on Golf Channel's Morning Drive and now with NBC Sports Next. Lauren also played in the celebrity field. Hey, good morning, Lauren. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Anne, great to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in so long. What has it been, like 2 days now? Always great to hang out with you up in the Greenville area. And you're right. I mean, I couldn't have said it better. That is such an awesome stop on the Korn Ferry Tour season.
And if you're like me, you know, having the opportunity to play with these pros on the Korn Ferry Tour, I mean, it really deepens the appreciation us amateur golfers have of these professionals. I mean, the depth of talent in the game is unbelievable. Don't you think?
Absolutely. The game is in a good spot. I mean, I've gotten to know these guys quite well over the last couple of years, especially. Last year, I got to be there for both of their PGA Tour card ceremonies. And, I mean, you talk about changing lives and sitting in the production truck and just hanging on every shot and living and dying in those moments with them. They've got their families out there. It's funny, the first 2 years of the BMW Charity Pro-Am, I played with Justin Lauer the first year. The second year, I was with Trevor Cohn, and this past year at Victoria National, I was with Trevor Cohn and his dad when he found out that he was going to the PGA Tour. And, I mean, his dad, let me just tell you, the emotions were running high. It was so cool to see that. So just to get another sneak peek at, like, the biggest stars of the men's game this past week in Greenville was really cool. I played with Cooper Musselman and Parker Cootie. Parker I knew pretty well. I remember covering him and his brother during the NCAAs. And Cooper, though, man, he was hitting the ball great. It's just really cool to see them before they really break out and become household names.
Oh, absolutely. My first year I played with Austin Eckroat. And it was his very first pro tournament. He had two egos the first round I played with him. And now look at him. I mean, incredible progress on the PGA Tour. And this year I played with Ryan Burnett. He's the 2023 NCAA regional champion. He played for North Carolina. And he finished seventh in the PGA Tour University. And as you say, you know, the parents were there. They were walking with us. And he made the cut by one at 7 under. He's 10 under overall, 7 shots behind the leader, Josh Teeter. But, hey, how about Michael Fiegel shooting that 12 under 59 the first day?
I can't believe it. I mean, and just that putt that he had, that right to left, and it just dripped in right on that edge. And, I mean, talk about doing well under pressure. He knew exactly what was on the line. I always wonder, one of the biggest questions I ask guys when they either win a tournament or they have a round that makes history, I'm like, were you watching the leaderboard? Are you a leaderboard watcher? And he knew exactly what was going on. And that just makes it that much more impressive to me, knowing that he stepped up in the big moment and made it happen.
Unbelievable. 6 birdies on the front, 6 birdies on the back, 12 under. How do you shoot a 12 under? He had 5 straight birdies to finish, and apparently it is 6 shots better than any previous score he shot. And right now I looked him up. He's 11 under overall, 6 shots back. So did not, you know, I mean, how do you get close to a 12 under, right? But he is, ironically, he is the nephew of Jeff Fiegels, who's a former New York Giants punter who won the Super Bowl with the Giants over the Patriots back in 2008. So there's some elite athlete blood in this kid.
Yeah. Fourth royalty running through his veins.
Exactly. So I wanted to ask you, Lauren, so this is my 3rd straight BMW Charity Pro-Am, and you've played in several of them. How do you control the nerves? Because the pressure for us amateurs is really unlike any golf that we've played, right? I mean, what do you do to control your nerves?
Well, it's a funny story, because the first year that I played in it, I was told, you know, hey, they want to get more females in the field. I was on board the second that I heard that statement. I'm like, you know, that sounds cool, but this is covered by Golf Channel. You know, I can talk golf forever on TV, but playing golf with cameras around is kind of nerve-wracking. You know, I don't know. Like, I want to say yes, and I'm going to say yes, but I'm telling you, I mean, this was like 3 months out from the tournament the first year I played. And I'm like, I'm already getting like weird heart palpitations just knowing this moment's going to happen. They're like, yeah, you know, it's really just all about the pros. They might show your swing a couple times. It'll probably be on tape. They'll only show the good stuff. Well, when I'm playing with Justin Lauer, he is leading at the end of each day. He didn't close it out and get the W, but we still had cameras all over us. And, I mean, I was I was a mental case the whole time out there. My poor caddy, Robbie Edwards. Luckily, he has such great experience with calming down real athletes. He's a women's college golf coach, and now he's a PGA professional at Cherokee Valley, not too far away from where the BMW is played. And the whole time, he's just like, you know, walk slower, stay patient, all the things that we always hear when we cover the game of golf. And we're talking about first, breathe, drink water, have a snack. You know, you need to focus on the trees, look at anything but the cameras, anything but the galleries. And man, I finished on the 18th hole. I was a wreck. It was probably one of the worst tee shots I've ever hit. I had two shots with my hybrid to get out of the rough. It was terrible. And I remember some guy in the stands threw me a beer, and I chugged it right there on the 18th green. And that was the loudest crowd roar I had all week. And it was such relief and just elation that we made it through, that I finished it out, that I got through the tournament. I played in front of cameras for the first time. And I'm like, all right, I am never going to do that again. Like, I'm going to check that off my list, and I'm going to not return. I'll just stick to talking golf on TV. And, you know what they called the next year, and I remember calling my caddy once again, and we were kind of going over the decision. He's like, you were so nervous the first time. Let's do it again, but this time you're going to do it for you. You're going to enjoy every moment. You're going to take all the things that you learned from the first year, and you're going to put that into play. And I loved every second of it. And then, of course, I came back again this past year, and I just enjoy it more and more every time. I learned quickly that, you know, this is not about us. This is not about the amateurs playing in the event. It's about the pros. And I just kind of try and stay out of their way, let them do their thing. I just think of it as like another round with friends. And it truly felt like that with Parker and with Cooper this year. They were cheering me on. I just felt their support, but I more than anything just wanted to stay out of their way.
And it's great to see how the community down there rallies, you know, and supports this tournament. And they're so, they're knowledgeable. So they know we're amateurs. They know that, you know, we're there to have fun and to help promote the Korn Ferry Tour and the event. And I just think they really do appreciate us being there, even though, you know, I mean, these, it's even from those forward tees, it's hard to get on the green in two, right? I mean, it plays long.
Very.
I played with a college girl who, oh my God, could she bomb the ball? She's only 5'4" and she hit it so long. And it also makes you appreciate how far the game has come for young women and who are getting into the game, because these girls can hit the ball. And boy, I wish I would have started playing golf when I was, you know, really young, but I played every other sport but golf until I got into my 20s. But hey, the news that stunned the golf world, I bet looking back, everyone will remember where they were and what they were doing, you know, when the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and the Saudi PIF merger news broke. The news was that shocking. And you and I were about to start this women's golf clinic and about to speak on a panel at the women's golf luncheon. And, you know, we have that picture of us in the locker room just completely stunned by the news and reading as much as we could that had, you know, there was hardly anything written about it, but the tweets were, you know, in overdrive. So just talk about that moment when you first heard the news.
Oh my gosh. I mean, talk about the last thing I was expecting to find out about that day. And really the last thing I was expecting to find out anytime soon. I mean, here we are in South Carolina. I'm thinking about the tournament at hand and the women's clinic and what we're going to discuss on the panel. And you came up to me and you're like, did you hear the news? And I'm like, an hour before that, I had just put my phone away in the locker room. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then we went and looked at, I mean, you and I both just trying to find any details we possibly could. And the craziest thing about it is that we were just as much in the know about this headline news as so many of the PGA Tour players. I mean, Rory McIlroy seemed to have had the most heads up about it, and he found out about it at 6:30 a.m. that same day. So if anything, that's the most astounding part of it to me, is that the tour pros themselves did not know about this news coming out. I think it would have been really, really nice if they would have known that this news was about to break, just so that they would know more about this player-run, you know, so-called organization. It's interesting. I think that if there are any takeaways from this news in the game, is that we don't know enough yet. There's not enough solid details to really react I want to know how this is going to shake out this year, in 3 years, in 5 years. I want to continue to follow the player reactions and just see how they are absorbing all this information, how they are getting their heads around it. But it is surprising, to say the least.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you had a chance to talk to any of the Korn Ferry players about it, but the players, whom I spoke to said they definitely felt betrayed and will have a difficult time trusting the leaders. But hey, as you say, there's so much that needs to be answered that, there's so much money apparently coming into the game now that they have to benefit eventually.
I mean, I keep going back to Rory, and I mean, he was the big press conference that everyone was tuning into on Wednesday morning. And, you know, we know that he called himself a sacrificial lamb. We know that he has been on Jay Monahan's side and supported Jay Monahan through all of this, you know, basically from the very beginning of when we ever heard the name LIV Golf. And, I just can't help but think that this has been a really, really tough week for Rory. I think that he has performed extremely well at the RBC this week, despite the news. I do like what he said, though. You know, he's trying to stay optimistic about it. What you said about the support financially that's pouring into the game. And he said, you know, as much as he, quote, hates LIV Golf and wishes that they would go away, any entity that is pouring billions with a B, billions of dollars into the game of golf can't be bad. So I hope and pray that he's right about that statement, you know?
Yeah, well, I would normally have devoted this show to previewing the U.S. Open, which is this coming week, by the way, at the L.A. Country Club. So before I let you go, what are your thoughts? Who are you picking to win?
Yeah, 1 week away from the third major of the year, and then we get all the LIV News merger headlines. But, I love this venue. I had a chance to check it out years ago during my golf travel show. It's a challenging layout, narrow fairways, views galore. It's known for its perfect conditions. The easy pick, everyone's talking about Scottie Scheffler. He's a comfortable favorite. I'm looking a lot at Koepka, 13th in the world. We know how he performed with that runner-up finish at the Masters. He won the PGA. You know he's riding high with the LIV Golf news going on right now. He's got a baby on the way. He's been working out like crazy. But I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele. I think he's ready for that major breakthrough, Ann. He's had 8 top 10s and 14 starts this season. If you're a stats person, he's 5th in strokes gained, 6th in approaches to the green, 8th in tee to green, 11th in putting. He's playing some of the best golf of his career. So I'm watching Xander this week.
Xander, I like that pick. Yeah, if Brooks Koepka were to win, what a story that would be.
Wouldn't shock me in the least.
Right. I mean, the guy
with Scheffler and with Koepka, that would not be a surprise. But
he's
Xander,
on a major mission. Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood shot a 64 yesterday at the Canadian Open. I think he's due. I want to, pick somebody different like you pick Xander. I'm going to just say Tommy Fleetwood. I would love to see him win one. He'll start today 2 shots behind leader CT Pan at the Canadian Open. But as you say, I can't wait to get out there. Los Angeles Country Club. It will be set up at 7,423 yards. It will play to a par 70. And interesting, they have 5 par 3s. On the course, and that's the first time since I think 1947, which I read. But anyway, Lauren, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun getting to know you more in the heat of competition on this Korn Ferry tournament, and keep up the great work, and hey, keep working on that golf game, right?
You too. Me and you both, Anne. Hey, this past year was the best golf I have literally ever played in my life, so maybe you and me both will be holding up some trophies by the end of next year.
All right. Well, it's certainly a great goal to work for. My thanks to Lauren Thompson, to Bob Herrig, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Hey, stay tuned for Mark Melusis. I'm heading out to Los Angeles for the U.S. Open and looking forward to talking with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.